أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام السجاد عليه الصلاة والسلام لسيدة زينب سلام الله عليها: أنت بحمد الله عالمة غير معلمة وفهمة غير مفهمة. صلوات. Yesterday was the day of martyrdom of Aqilat Bani Hashim, Sayyida Zainab Salamullahi Alayha. And tonight we are commemorating her Shahada. It is mentioned in the history about the birth of Hazrat Zainab. The most authentic narration is the one where our scholars have the ijma about it, is the narration that talks about her birth on 5th of Jumadi al-Ula, on the 6th year of Hijrah. Although there are narrations which talk about her birth to be in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and also some narrations talk about her birth in Ramadan month, but those are not authentic. But her day of Shahadat was exactly 2 months and 20 days after the day of Shahadat of Sayyida Umm Kulthum Salamullahi Alayha. And she became a martyr 4 months after the release from the Zindan of Sham, and 2 months and 20 days after her release, 2 months and 20 days after her Shahadat is the day of Shahadat of Sayyida Zainab Salamullahi Alayha. So she has been the name that was given by Rasulullah is narrated like this, that on the birth of Hazrat Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, Prophet came into the house of his daughter and asked that the daughter should be brought to him. And when Hazrat Zainab was given into the lap of the Holy Prophet hugged this daughter, and he put his cheek over the cheek of Hazrat Zainab and started to cry. And he cried so much that his beard became wet with the tears. And that's where his daughter asked him the reason, and he described about the fact that you know, your daughter will be killed with a lot of masaib. And that's where Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi also started to cry. And she asked that what would be the reward of the person who cries on Hazrat Zainab. And Prophet said that it would be the similar reward, the same reward which will be for the person who cries on Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So the reward of crying on Hazrat Zainab is equal to the reward of crying upon Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And that's where after that, you know, the narration says that he named her with the name Zainab, which is Zainun lil Ab. That means a matter of adornment and beauty for the father. And also when Salman al-Farisi, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, he came to Imam Ali alayhi salam for saying his tabriq and congratulations over the birth of this daughter, Imam Ali alayhi salam also started to recite the masaib of Sayyida Zainab. So, and that's where Salman Farsi also end up crying. So Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, her right from the time of her birth is the sunnat of Rasulullah and sunnat of Amir Mu'min alayhi salam and sunnat of the followers of Ahlul Bayt that they cried upon her, and her life is full of masaib, Ummul Masaib, how she is called, and it is the sunnat and thawab to cry upon her. We find that this daughter of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha had ilmun ladunni, that means knowledge which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his behalf, special knowledge that Allah awards to his awliya Allah, his beloved servants of Allah. And so we find right from the beginning of her life, we have like in one narration we learn when Prophet was, Imam Ali alayhi salam had Hazrat Zainab with him, and he asked her to say Ahad, and she repeated after him, and then he asked her to say Isnain, and she did not say nothing, and Imam Ali alayhi salam asked her to speak up, and that's where we find that Imam Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha said that the tongue has, which has said Ahad, how can it say its name? And this is about the belief of Tawheed. This is about the fact that how Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha is raised in the household of Tawheed and the walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right from the beginning. That's narrated in Riyahin al-Sharia. And also we find that it's narrated that you know, the khutbah of Fadak, the khutbah of Fadak that has been delivered by Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha in the darbar of Tahut. And this entire khutbah is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas from Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. So Sayyida Zainab was just 5-year-old daughter or 6-year-old daughter. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is narrating the entire khutbah of Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha through Hazrat Zainab. So Hazrat Zainab was just one of the spectators, one of the people who was standing with, you know, there. She was there with her mom. So in the age 5 or 6, she can one time listen to the whole khutbah of her mother and just memorize it. And she's able to narrate the entire khutbah, which is full of ma'arif ilahiyya, high-level teachings of Islam, and ahdaf, and the reasons why Allah has legislated the Sharia and certain rulings of the Sharia and certain beliefs of Islam. So such a huge information database that we learned from that remarkable khutbah of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. She has memorized it in one shot, in one time, by hearing it once, and then she is the rawiya, she is the one who narrates, and you know, without any missing out on anything or adding anything in it. This shows again the knowledge of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha right from the beginning. And also we find that when she reached the age of marriage, several people in the ashab of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam proposed for the marriage towards her, to get to her, to seeking the hand of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. But Imam Ali refused to all of them. Obviously in Islam we believe the marriage is bayn al-akfa, al-mu'minuna ba'dhuhum akfa o ba'dh. Marriages in Islam as an entire concept need to take place between those who are kufu, means spiritually parallel to you, not financially parallel. We don't care about money in Islamic. And if that was the case, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he owns the whole universe, isn't that right? Everything is his, under his command. He is the commander-in-chief of the whole universe. Isn't that right? So we find, لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ. He has the taj, he has the crown of لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ over his head. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to fix a price for his daughter, then basically nobody can marry her, isn't it right? But we find that this is not the price of the daughter. No one can fix the price of the ruh of a mu'min or a mu'mina. This is the mahr, is a loving gift that the husband provides lovingly to the daughter upon the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which has to be simple, on the sunnat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I remember that Ayatollah Khamenei hafizahullah has clearly said, if anyone wants to come to me for nikah, abdul nikah, any youth who wants to come to me for the abdul nikah, I will not recite the marriage if it is, the mahr is more than 14 gold coins. In Iran there are gold coins, which in Farsi they say Sikkiye Bahar Azadi, Iranian national gold coins. So some people put outrageous amount of mahar, 4,000 gold coins, 5,000 gold coins, 10,000 or 14,000. Alhamdulillah, they did not put 124,000, So they just stayed on 14,000. So, but he said, if any youth wants to come to me for Aqdun Nikah, I will not read it if your mahar is more than 14 gold coins. There has to be simplicity in our life. Wa alaikum as-salam. To follow on the seerat of Ahlul Bayt, that's how our urafa and our awliyaullah, our great personalities, our fuqaha, our maraji, hafazahumullah ajma'in, they have been battling against the wrong adat and taqaleed and the customs and traditions of the people. And this is backfiring. We have hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam who says, لا تغالوا بمهور النساء فتكتسب العداوة. صدق الإمام الصادق عليه السلام. Don't raise the mahr of the woman, you will end up earning enmity. صدق الإمام الصادق عليه السلام. Certainly he said the truth. So we find that Imam عليه السلام refused, turned down all the proposals for his daughter. And when finally Abdullah ibn Ja'far salamullahi alayhima, when he came and he proposed for the hand of Sayyidah Zainab, Imam Ali alayhi salam accepted, and the mahr which was placed for Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha was equal to the mahr of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. And the mahr of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, according to some narrations, is 480 dirhams or 500 dirhams. So 500 dirhams is considered to be mahr sunnah, the mahr of the sunnat and tradition of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So we follow the mahr sunnah, so basically 500 dirhams. So we find that was the mahr of Hazrat Zainab. And also, like in Islam, the Sharia of Islam, it is allowed to put any mubah, shartun mubah, any condition which is permissible to do in the Sharia. Anything which is permissible. Obviously, we cannot put a condition which is مُضَادٌ لِلشَّرِيعَةِ. Any condition was in مُنَافِن لِلشَّرِيعَةِ or حَرَام. Isn't it right? We don't do that. Even if a bride or a groom puts a condition which is against the Sharia, it's against the hukum of Allah, it is null and void. Even if you put it, it's null and void. It's not legally valid in Islamic Sharia. It has to be mubah. You know, when you put a mubah condition, Islamically permissible condition inside the sighatul aqd, then it becomes shartun lazim. That means a binding condition, binding upon the husband and binding upon the wife to do that. This is called shartun lazim in our fiqh. So every husband and wife are allowed to put shartun mubah in their sighatul aqd. So we find that when the marriage was taking place between Sayyidah Zainab and Abdullah ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhim, so we find that Sayyidah Zainab, the shart which was put in the Sirahul Aqd was she has to go with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And this shart is a shartun mubah which was part of the Sirahul Aqd that was recited, because when you put a shart, you tell it to the person who is reading the aqd, any alim or anyone who reads the aqd, he mentions that in the sigha, and that's how it becomes a binding condition. So obviously the shart was mentioned, and now Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha shar'an was allowed to leave with Imam Husayn alayhi salam from the city of Medina towards Iraq without asking her husband, because it's part of the sighatul aqd. Obviously, she came to ask her husband as well. That's her courtesy and akhlaq and morality. So we find, and why would Abdullah ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhim, why would he oppose? He's such a great person, one of the awliyaullah. He's one of the commanders of in the battle of Siffin against Muawiyah. He was one of the leaders on the side of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, and one of the mujahideen and big supporters. So he himself is a very great personality. We can understand because he is the kufu of Sayyidah Zainab. So you can understand the person whom Imam Ali alayhi salam accepts as kufu for his daughter. This is enough to understand the azamat of Abdullah ibn Ja'far salamullahi alayhima. So his father is Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, who was shaheed in the battle of Mauta. And Allah awarded him two wings, isn't it right? So he is the one who led the hijrat, the first hijrat of Islam, which took place from, towards Habsha. And so basically, so he already belongs to this kind of family of jihad and isar and ilm and ismat. So we find that when Amir Mumin alayhi salam, in the last approximately 4 years of his life, migrated to the city of Kufa, because he made Kufa to be the capital of his Islamic government. So he moved to Kufa in approximately last 4 years of his life. That's where Abdullah ibn Ja'far and Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayhim, they also came with Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Sayyidah Zainab used to deliver dars of tafsir of Quran in Kufa. She was muallima, she was a mudarrisa, she used to teach the tafsir of Quran to the women there. So this again shows the knowledge and the azamat of hers. So we find that Hazrat Fatima bint al-Husayn, one of the daughters of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, she says that amma ammati Zainab fa'innaha lam tazal qa'imatan fi tilka al-layla. She's talking about the night before the day of Ashura, Tasu'a, and the night before Ashura. So she says about Hazrat Zainab that amma ammati Zainab, as far as my aunt Zainab is concerned, she was standing up in the night. So fi mihrabiha, in the mihrab, tastaghithu ila rabbiha wa ma hada'at lana عَيْنٌ وَلَا سَكَنَتْ لَنَا زَفْرَةٌ. So basically, crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how she spent the entire night. And this is the night which Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam took as a muhlat, as one more chance, one more time, he is buying more time. And when the enemies attacked on Imam Husayn alayhi salam, la'anatullah alayhim ajma'in, they, when they attacked on Tasu'a, on the 9th of Muharram, he sent Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam to seek a muhlat, some time for one more night. Because he said that Allah knows anni uhibbu salata. Allah knows that I love prayers. So Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam wants to spend one more night in salat, doing the salat and prayers and munajat and dua and tilawatul Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was done by Imam Husayn alayhi salam in that night. And so we find, this is how she was, so it's likewise, we have another hadith from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, where he says, "Inna ammati Zainab alayhi salam كانت تؤدي صلواتها من قيام عند مسيرنا من الكوفة إلى الشام." She used to, my aunt Zainab used to say her prayers, that means her fara'id and nawafil, her wajib and mustahab prayers. She used to pray in standing position throughout the travel from Kufa to Sham. وفي بعض المنازل تصلي من جلوس. And some of the stops, stations, she used to say while sitting. Obviously, she was so weak and obviously injured and weak and incapable of standing any further. لشدت الجوع والضعف منذ ثلاث ليال. Because we find that لأنها كانت تقسم ما يصيبها من الطعام على الأطفال لأن القوم كانوا يدفعون لكل واحد منا رغيفا واحدا من الخبز في اليوم والليلة. So because those ashqiya, la'anatullah alayhim, they used to give only one piece of bread to in the day and night time. So one piece of bread, obviously that's not enough. So she used to give away, she used to distribute her share of the bread to the children. So when she gives away for to the children, obviously one bread is not even enough for the children, isn't that right? So when everybody's getting one bread, she used to give away, distribute the bread, her bread to the children, and we can understand nothing would remain for her. So this will certainly cause the weakness in the body, so she has to now pray in the sitting position. We should not jump into praying. Some people, they have a little bit illness or they just start praying from the sitting position. This is not right. Shara'an, we are required to start our prayers in the standing position, isn't it right? Takbir al-qiyam عند تكبيرة الإحرام واجب ركني. Standing during the تكبيرة الإحرام is واجب ركني. So you have to stand and say your تكبيرة الإحرام if you can. Even if you can stand for 5 seconds. Even if you can stand for 5 seconds only, then it is wajib on you to stand up and stand for 5 seconds after niyat, say your takbiratul ihram in the standing position, and then you sit over a chair and continue with your prayers. As much as you can stand, it is wajib on you to stand for that much. So basically, these are role models for us. When Sayyidah Zainab is doing this behavior, this is certainly a role model. Not just the wajib prayers, but also the mustahab prayers are not missed by her. So, just like Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Ja'far al-Shustari rahmatullah alayhi, he said that Imam Husayn alayhi salam did not miss out on a single mustahab of the Sharia. You cannot find a single mustahab thing in Sunnah thing, recommended thing of the entire Sharia that was not done by Muhammad. Even on the day of Ashura, with all the masa'id that he was going through, he is not missing on any mustahab. Iyadatul Mariz, you know, you name any mustahab of the Sharia and he's doing that. So this is how with his amal, you know, he is protecting the religion Islam. Islam is surviving because of him, and all the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surviving because of him. So we find that when she reaches Kufa, the masa'ib of Hazrat Zainab are there, which are very much extreme. Because she not only faced the masa'ib alongside with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the Maidan of Karbala, but also after the Shahada, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, she's now leading the whole caravan from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Sham. So her masa'ib and troubles are not decreased, actually it is under increase, actually, because when she's taken into the darbar of Ibn Ziyad, this is a bigger musibat for Sayyidah Zainab. Ihtimalan a bigger musibah than that was to face Yazid la'anatullah alayh in the darbar of Sham. Even Imam Sajjad alayhi salam himself mentioned, when somebody asked, where did you find the highest musibat and trouble, and he said three times Ash-Sham. Isn't that right? So he did not mention Karbala, he didn't mention Kufa, he went Ash-Sham. So the masa'ib of Sayyidah Zainab are increasing, because he's, despite all the hardships he faced, he is still going through more and more and more of the masa'ib and the ta'an and the tons and the taunting and the wrongs and the insults that have been done throughout the travel against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When the caravan reaches Kufa, so we find that's where another episode happens. So the woman of Kufa come forward towards the qafila of Ahlul Bayt, and they start to weep and cry, shedding tears when they see the woman like this. And some of them are standing on the roof of the houses and looking down towards the woman of Ahlul Bayt without the hijab. That's another haram. Who cares about the haram? And these people care about the haram. If they cared about the haram, they would never invite Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They are the ones who invited, isn't that right? And then they supported the Tahut ibn Ziyad la'anatullah alayhi, or state Sakit, except those who did the Tawbah, they are mustasna from all this. So we find that Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha, she delivers the sermon in Kufa. Alhamdulillah وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَىٰ أَبِي مُحَمَّدْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here in this khutbah of Kufa, she is bluntly calls Rasulullah to be her father. And this is so true. This is so true. She is the true daughter of Rasulullah, just like Imam Hussain alayhi salam is Ibn Rasul bin Nass al-Qur'an. أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساء. Quran is clear about the fact that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, they are the children of Rasulullah. Similarly, Sayyidah Zainab deserves to be, she is the daughter of Rasulullah. So she says, Alhamdulillah, all the praise belongs to Allah, and the salat be on my father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَآلَهُ الطَّيِّبِينَ الْأَخْيَارِ and his all. And then she says to the crowd, أَمَّا بَعْد يَا أَهْلَ الْكُوفَةِ وَيَا أَهْلَ الْخَطْلِ وَالْغَدْرِ وَالْخَزْلِ. Oh, you the people of Kufa, you people of deception and fraud, and which I'm paraphrasing these things in my words, all these narrations in my words. أَلَا فَلَا رَقَتْ أَدْرَقَ فلا رقأت الدمعة ولا هدأت الزفرة. إنما مثلكم كمثل التي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا. That's the ayat of Quran that she brought in the middle of her sermon. تتخذون أيمانكم دخلا بينكم هل فيكم إلا الصلف والعجب والشنف والكذب وملق الإماء وغمز الأعداء. So she says that you are the people of deception and fraud and lie, deception and fraud, and you deserve to, in other words, you people deserve to keep on crying. And you are like the person. There was a woman in Bani Israel in the earlier times. She used to, you know, she used to weave something, a woven cloth, keep on weaving it, and after a while destroy what she have woven, and she just opened up all the knots and everything she has woven. So this is the example of those people who do good deed, and then they do some bad deed in a way that destroy all the salihat and all the good deeds that they may have done in the past. That's exactly the situation of the people of Kufa in those days. So after doing the da'wat, in writing Imam Hussain alayhi salam, writing letters after letters to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and now they are part of the blood of Sayyid al-Shuhada. What is the value of your salat and psalm and your hijab and your khums and your hajj? It needs to be wrapped up and thrown back at your faces. Allah does not stand in need of these salat and psalm and hijab and khums and zakat and hajj without the walayat of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. First things first. Isn't it right? Sahiha of Zurara ibn A'yan. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin. Islam is founded on five. على الصلاة والصيام والزكاة والحج والولاية فأخذ الناس بأربع وتركوا هذه يعني الولاية. So what the Islam is founded on five, Imam al-Baqir al-Islam said in Sahiha of Zarara, on prayers and fasting and Islamic taxes, in other words, and Hajj, and the Walayat means governance of Ahlul Bayt. What the people did, people took the first four. They took the prayers, the fasting, khums, zakat, fitra, whatever Islamic taxes, hajj. وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ يَعْنِي الْوَلَايَةِ. They left the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alone. وَاللَّهِ, the Imam al-Baqir said, وَاللَّهِ مَا لَا يَسْتَكْمِلُ الْأَرْبَعَ حَتَّى يَسْتَكْمِلُوهَا بِالْخَامِسَةِ. I swear to Allah, they cannot fulfill the four until they fulfill the four through the fifth one. That means through the walayat. So first things first. What's your behavior towards the wali and mawla of your time? Are you supporting the Tahut ibn Ziyad, la'natullah alayh, or you are supporting, you know, the wali and mawla Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, or his naib Muslim ibn Aqil salamullahi alayhima? First things first. Don't mention I pray and I fast, I am a very good person. Forget about that. First things first, we are not there yet. We didn't talk about furud deen, salat and psalm and zakat and khums, and they're all part of furud deen. We are not there yet. We are talking about imamat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt. This is usul deen. First things first. Don't even mention about the furud deen yet. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ. People took the first four, and here they're praying and fasting just like Wahhabis. You know what? They think they are very multazim and religious people because they are praying and fasting and hajj. So what's the value of the hajj without the walayat? Zero. So now we find that أَمْ اتَّتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخْلًا بَيْنَكُمْ. So you take your covenants, your vows, your covenants, your swearings, as, in other words, as a means of fasad. And هَلْ فِيكُمْ إِلَّا الصَّلْفَ وَالْعُجْبَ وَالشَّنَفَ وَالْكَذِبِ. There's your situation, in other words, is nothing like nonsense talk and considering yourself to be good. عُجْب and شَنَف means enmity, and كَذِب means the lie. وَمَلَقُ الْإِمَاء, and buttering up like, just like the female slaves butter up their masters. Malakul ima, just like the female servants butter up their masters. This is how you are. Look at what she's talking to the people of Kufa bluntly. So she says, "Wa ghamzil a'da," and basically picking up the, you know, just like the enemies do, they pick up certain things, certain words of yours, and they tell it to others so that they can cause fight between the two. So in other words, so we follow أو كمرعى على دمة أو كفضة على ملحودة. مرعى على دمة means, that means you people are like a nice plants growing over the trash. That means the batin of yours is like a trash and the zahir of yours is nice looking plants. You find some nice plants growing over the trashy garbage. This is how you are. أو كفضةٍ على ملحودةٍ, or like a silver placed over the grave. You put the grave and you put silver over it, inside its soil. Over you put a silver. So the batin is najis, and batin is khabith, and the zahir is very nice looking. That's how you people are, she said to the people of Kufa in those days. And Allah bi'sama qaddamat lakum anfusakum, how bad you people have done. An sakhat Allahu alaykum wa fil adhab antum khalidun, that Allah is angry upon you and you are eternally in the hell. She has a right to say that, isn't it right? Because when she said that statement, let me also add some ash'ar, then I will come to my point. And then she recited some ash'ar in Arabic. ماذا تقولون إذ قال النبي لكم ماذا صنعتم وأنتم آخر الأمم بأهل بيتي وأولادي وتكرمتي منهم أسارى ومنهم درجوا بدمي ما كان ذلك جزائي إذ نصحت لكم أن تخلفوني بسوء في ذوي رحمي إني لأخشى عليكم أن تحل بكم مثل العذاب الذي أورى على إرمي. So we learn in these beautiful ash'ar that she recited, that if the Prophet had asked you people, how would you respond to the Prophet? If the Prophet had asked you to do bad towards his Ahlul Bayt, nothing worse can be done than what you have done. I mean, if he had asked you to do bad, this is what could have been done. In other words, you have already done when the Prophet asked to do good and the love of Ahlul Bayt and Mawaddat. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. The Prophet had asked that. Now this ayat is not part of her share. I'm explaining to you. So what they have done is, if he had asked, what they would have done if the Prophet had asked to do bad towards his Ahlul Bayt. And then she says that you people, basically, I'm afraid that you have the similar adab like the people of Iram. Iram azat al-imad allati lam yukhlaq mithlaha fil bilad, wa samadhanat surat al-fajr. And that's where Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam said to her that ya amma uskuti fa fil baqi min al-madhi i'tibar. وَأَنْتِ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ عَلِمَةٌ غَيْرُ مُعَلَّمَةٍ وَفَهِمَةٌ غَيْرُ مُفَهَّمَةٍ. So that's where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam asked her to stop there, and there is a lesson. That means what is remaining, there is a lesson from the past. And you are, bihamdillah, a knowledgeable person who is not taught. That means not taught by anyone in this earth. No one in the earth can teach you. No one in the earth can teach you when you have the knowledge and ilm given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Isn't it right? Ilmun nadunni wa fahimatun ghayru mufahhama. You are a person of understanding without any person on earth teaching you the understandings. So this is about that. So, and then we find when the qafila reaches the darbar of Ibn Ziyad la'anatullah alayh, he said to Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayhi, Alhamdulillah alladhi fadahakum wa qatalakum wa akdhaba uhdusatakum. Praise be to Allah who insulted you. He's second talking to Ahlul Bayt. and killed you and falsified your claim, then the new thing that you people have brought. He's talking about Islam. Ahdusa means the Islam. And he is taunting over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there's a whole Islam thing that Prophet has brought, your grandfather has brought this new invention into our area. Allah made it false. That means the government came into our hands again, and now you people are Osara, you are captives, and so you have been killed by Allah. So she replied back, Alhamdulillah alladhi akramana bi nabiyyi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So all praise be to Allah who honored us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa tahharana min al-rijs tathira, and the one who made us mutahhar from the uncleanness in the complete and proper way. Innama yuftazahu al-fasiq wa yakzibu al-fajir wa huwa ghayruna. That means only the fasiq person gets insulted and the fajir is lying. He's talking about Ibn Ziyad, obviously she's talking about him. وَهُوَ غَيْرُنَا and he's other than us. وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ So look at how is the jur'at and shuja'at of Hazrat Zainab sallallahu alayha, just like her father. So she's saying the kalimatu haqqin inda imamin ja'ir. That's afdal al-jihad. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afdal al-jihad kalimatu haqqin inda imamin ja'ir. The most superior jihad is to say the word of haqq on the near the zalim ruler. So there, some people are cowards, and because of their cowardice they want to mold Islam according to their mawqif. There are people in the Islamic communities, generally speaking, who are cowards, and because of their cowardice they cannot say and confess that. Now what they can do, they can find poor Islam. Let us mold the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt to fit our wrongdoings and justify our own mawqif. And then put the garment and clad and the dress of Islam over the wrong mawqif that we are promoting in the name of Islam. Because these people are cowards. Who gave you the license to mold the teachings of Quran? Isn't it right? Those people who are Ahlul Quran, those people who are the waris of this knowledge. العلماء ورثة الأنبياء إذا ظهرت البدع في أمتي فليظهر العالم علمه ومن لم يفعل فعليه لعنة الله. Didn't the Prophet say, when the bid'ah appear in my ummah, the alim must express his knowledge. إذا ظهرت البدع في أمتي فليظهر العالم علمه ومن لم يفعل أو فلم فمن لم يفعل بالترديد مني فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. Whoever doesn't do that, then the la'nat of Allah be upon him. So we don't allow people to misuse Islam and justify their own policies in the name of Islam. That cannot happen. They can do it in their own cultural clubs, in the masjid, in Husayniyat. No. You can open a center and as a cultural club of yours, on your personal ra'i and opinion is implemented, not the hukum of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, not the hukum of Allah. Your personal opinion is implemented. That's your cultural club. That's not Allah's hukum. If Allah's hukum, it will be implemented the way it is, without the tahrif. We are not Yahud and Nasara, Alhamdulillah. We are the Shias of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. We don't allow the tahrif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. So we find that Ibn Ziyad, when he said to Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayha, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتِ سُنْعَ اللَّهِ بِأَخِيكِ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِكِ. How did you see what Allah did towards you and your Ahlul Bayt, your brother and your Ahlul Bayt? And look at the ma'rifat of Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayha. This is the irfan. This is the irfan of Sayyidah Zainab when she's replying back. She says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I didn't see except Jameel. It is the mazhar of the Jamal and beauty of Allah. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ كَتْبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْقَتْلِ فَبَّرَزُوا إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Those were people that Allah made getting killed fariza, in other words, upon them, and they went towards their mazajit, their places of rest. So this is the azamat of Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha, about how she says, and she's hamilatul asrar. She's the one who carried the secrets. She's the is the one who is so close to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that now we find that in the final moments Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam comes to her and he says to his brother, "Itini bi thawbin atiq." Imam Husayn says to Sayyida Zainab on the day of Ashura, before Wida, before he was leaving for good, for shahadat, "Itini bi thawbin atiq." Atiq in Arabic means kullu qadimin wa nafis, everything which is old and articulate. Everything which is old and articulate is called atiq in Arabic. So we call the Holy Kaaba to be atiq, baytin atiq. Isn't that right? وَلْيَطَّوَّفُ بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. So atiq means kullu qadimin wa nafis in Arabic, literally speaking. So the Kaaba, because that's the إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُرِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لِلَّذِي بِبَكَّةِ. That's the first house that was created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first house ever. And that's the أقدم البيوت, oldest and first of all the places. And then, right? So it deserves to be called Atiq. So Imam Husayn alayhi salam says to her sister on Ashura, "Itini bisawbin Atiq." That he bring me the Atiq dress, the old and articulate dress. He's referring to that shirt which his mother had sewn, has made, had stitched with her own hands. Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha used to stitch this dress for Imam Husayn alayhi salam and gave it to Sayyida Zainab, you know, to give it to him in that final moment. Now Imam Husayn comes to her to ask that dress. Itini ya ukhtah, itini bi thawbin atiq la yaghabu ahadun fihi min al-qawm. So that none of those evil people, none of those people would desire that dress. أَجْعَلْهُ تَحْتَ ثِيَابِي. I can place it under my clothes. So he can wear a different cloth over it, and he can put his mother's sewn dress under his regular clothes. So why? What's the reason? لِأَلَّا أُجَرَّدَ مِنْهُ بَعْدَ قَتْلِي. That was a very simple shirt that Hazrat Zahra has sewn. Imam Husayn is making the plan. So that his body is not bare and naked after Shah, because these are evil people. You know what? They don't care. They make the body of people naked to insult. So he's putting a simple cloth under his regular, other clothes that he's wearing. So the people, those evil people, don't take away that simple cloth away, so his body doesn't become bare and naked after the shahadat. There's no one to help Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Hal min nasirin yansirana, hal min mughithin yughithana, hal min dhabbin yadhubbu an haram Rasulullah. Right? There's no response coming from the ashqiya. So we find that Sayyida Zainab is there to support Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. When he's riding, he wants to ride his horse and leave for the maqtal. Now, there is no one to support Imam Husayn alayhi salam to ride. And in that final moment, Sayyida Zainab, no one else comes to help Imam Husayn except his sister Sayyida Zainab. She comes forward to help Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to ride over the horse. And we find in the final moments when Imam al-Husayn is departing after the wada', after the farewell from his Ahlul Bayt, he hears the voice, somebody's chasing him. As he turns to find, as he finds later, that this is the no one else but the young daughter Sakina bint al-Husayn. The young daughter of Imam Husayn is coming behind Imam Husayn. And she asks him, Imam Husayn gets off, he comes down, he comes and he comes to his daughter, and Sakina bint al-Husayn, she says that, "Make me sit over in your lap," in other words, "and rub your hand over my head
just the way you did towards the daughter of Muslim Ibn Aqil, you know, Imam Hussein in the way of Iraq, he received the news that Hazrat Muslim became Shaheed. He brought the daughter of Hazrat Muslim, make her sit in the lap. It is mustahab in Islam to rub masha ra's al yateem, to rub the hand over the head of a yateem person. Imam Hussain performs all the mustahabbat of the Sharia. So he brings the daughter of Muslim Aqil in his lap and rubs the hand over the head of the daughter. Hazrat Sakina bint al Hussain was watching there. And the daughter of Hazrat Muslim said that you are doing it as if my father is no longer alive. And Imam Hussain replies back to her, if your father is not alive, then Hussain is your father. Look at how Imam Hussain is doing the condolencing and helping this daughter, in other words. So Hazrat Sakina bint al-Hussain was watching there. Now that Imam Hussain is departing, she comes to her Baba and asks her the same thing, to make her sit in the lap and rub the hand over her head, because she knows that Imam Hussain is not going to come back. He's not going to come back. And in the final moments, Hazrat Zainab also is there. We find when Shimr, was Shimr jalisun ala sadrihi, when Imam Shimr, la'natullah alayhi, is sitting over the chest of Imam Hussain, and he's slaughtering mahzuz al-ra's min al-qafa. You know right? Imam Hussain is slaughtered from behind his neck, and grabbing the beard of Imam Hussain and slaughtering. And at that time, Sayyidah Zainab is not leaving her brother alone. She's standing in the Tilla Zainabiya. And she addresses the Tawhid of Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayhi. Ayyuktalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayhi. That means Imam Hussain, in other words, Imam Hussain is being killed and you are watching him. She did not say silent against the Zain.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين Some of the Mu'mineen who have hajat have requested for